Hi, everyone. My name is Benno Papari, and this is the Songwriters on Process podcast. Since 2010, I've interviewed over 300 songwriters about, well, their songwriting process. I don't care about favorite cities, tour stories, favorite foods, or anything like that. My goal has always been to treat songwriters the same way that we treat poets and more traditional prose writers. They are writers, plain and simple. In these interviews, we go deep into the specifics of the writing process. This is no, hey, do you start with the lyrics of the music type of interview. Now, a little bit about me. I'm not a songwriter. In fact, I've never written a song in my life. I have a PhD in English language and literature, and I'm a former academic. So as a prose writer, I enjoy exploring how my process intersects with those of songwriters. This is an intelligent conversation about writing between two writers. And that, of course, means we talk a lot about books. The site features interviews across all genres, from metal to jazz, from country to that big category known as indie. You'll find a couple of A-list actors on the site and several members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as well. Now, I select songwriters to interview who fit into one of two categories. One, do I listen to them already? And two, if I don't, would they make for a compelling and intelligent interview? You can find these interviews across all podcast platforms, as well as at songwritersonpodcast.com. Do you have an idea for an interview or a comment about the site? Hit me up at ben@songwritersonprocess.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy. And today's episode is with Clem Creevy of Cherry Glazer. Cherry Glazer's latest album, I Don't Want You Anymore, is out now on Secretly Canadian Records. I'm a big fan of Cherry Glazer and Clem Creevy. One of those bands that whenever I hear them on the radio, I'm like, yeah, that's a good song. Again, another one. I just don't think I've ever heard a bad, you know, and I've listened to their albums, but I guess when that new music comes on, every song I heard, I loved. And this is a, I love the new album. So we had a good time with this. Gosh, I mean, one of the things stood out to me when she said, I'm allergic to routine. I wake up and follow all my whims and desires, but inspiration strikes every couple of days. And when it does, you don't want to be around me because I have a one-track mind. And she told this story about how she was on a date. And at the end of the night, they were in bed and she rolled over and started singing a beat into her phone. And her date was like, you know, what are you doing? She's like, leave me alone. I'm creating. I've got a song idea. But you know, when she's not in bed, she likes a windowless room and prefers a messy ballpoint pen for her lyrics. The other thing that stood out to me was, you know, for most people, we find traffic to be maddening. I don't know how anyone can find traffic, much less LA traffic. I don't live in LA, but I've sat in traffic there before. I don't know how anyone can find traffic to be zen, to be calming. You know, it's anxiety producing. How can you get inspiration? You're supposed to get inspiration when your mind is kind of clear of clutter. Not Creevy. She says she loves to find inspiration when she's driving and in that horrible LA traffic. I guess the more chaotic, the better. And she says, I love that kind of energy when I'm in a situation that seems scary and hard. So a lot of interesting things I heard today, but, love this interview. Big fan of the music again. I Don't Want You Anymore, out now on Secretly Canadian Records. Here is my interview with Clem Creevy of Cherry Glazer. All right, cool. Let's get started. So I always start by asking, are you an everyday type of person when it comes to writing, or creating, or just kind of when the mood strikes?
I'm definitely when the mood strikes kind of person. I'm like allergic to routine. I know that that's not healthy, but I don't know. It's just, I don't really function that way. But I'm trying to. I know that it's good in the long run for your mental health to like do the same types of things every day and wake up every day at the same time. But I don't know. I feel like I like to take advantage of the life I've chosen as an artist. And I just kind of wake up and let the, you know, whatever the world wants out of me, that's what I do. Whatever my brain needs and tells me to do, I follow all my whims, and I'm totally hedonistic in that way. And I wake up late and I just kind of like follow my desires. but I definitely have a huge fear of never being able to write again. And then I surprise myself and end up writing music and can't stop because I'm a crazy person and I'm addicted to it. And I think the inspiration strikes every couple of days. Usually every couple of days I'll be like, I need to play bass. I have like a funky bass line rolling around in my brain and I need to run to the studio right now. Or I'll be like, you know, listening to some music that really inspires me. And I'll be like, okay, if I don't lay down like a nasty, you know, drum beat that I'm going to like rip off of YouTube and then like play guitar on top of it in the next 20 minutes, like I'm going to go insane. So when the inspiration strikes, I think I get kind of like like you kind of don't even want to be around me because I'm just like a one track mind.
So
and, like, you know, I'm like on one.
So can you, if you don't write for a couple of days because the inspiration hasn't struck, does that make you anxious at all? Like you said, you have a fear of not being able to write, but you know, if it's taking a couple of days, does that make you kind of nervous?
No, because I've gotten over that fear a little bit recently. Like I used to just be like, oh my God, I'm so scared that nothing is going to come out of me. Like, and then I consistently would surprise myself and I would keep writing music. So I've learned to trust myself a lot more in recently. I used to have the fear. Well, I guess I still have the fear. I say it like it's some sort of like what's the word I'm looking for? Ubiquitous term, like the fear. But I don't know. I think a lot of songwriters can probably relate to that feeling. I just don't have a regular practice. I just don't think it matters because even if I do it, I don't always make stuff that I don't know. I feel compelled to only create when I'm in the mood and that'll result in the best things. And I don't really see a point in pushing myself because I guess that I want to value my, the creation and not just the, you know, consistency of it or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you get inspired, are these like marathon sessions? I mean, is it just like, you know, you lose track of time, you can't eat? Yeah. I mean, what's that like for you? I hear some people say that.
I used to not have windows in my rehearsal space. Like I have a lockout at this building in downtown LA. And I used to not have a window room. And so I'd be in there and then like, I'd come out like hours later and it would be like nighttime and I'd be like,
really?
What? What's going on?
Yeah.
And then recently I got a window room and I'm like a proud dad about it, like with his boat. I'm like a dad with a boat about my room. I'll be like, check out this window room. Like I'll be taking pictures of it all the time because it has like a really sick view of downtown. And when the sun sets, it's like really beautiful in there. I have these big windows, beautiful like view of downtown. And I'll be like snapping pictures, putting it on my close friends. And it's like, Clem, no one cares.
But I have heard like, songwriters tell me though that they that windows. Bethany Costantino, I interviewed her a few times and she told me that I think she wrote one album. I forgot which one it was. Almost staring out the window. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was like their latest, or maybe the one before their latest one.
I forgot. Yeah, she has all these different, her process is different from each album. But did you notice a difference in the songwriting, writing, you know, in a windowless room versus a room with a window? I could see that could maybe make a difference.
I think so. I think so, for sure. Being in the windowless room is, yeah, it disconnects you from, like, you know, what it disconnects you from reality. But maybe that's a good thing, you know, like, but I do think there's a difference. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think there's a difference. I don't know tonally what that is exactly. I do think, I don't know, maybe there's more of a groundedness to having windows. Whereas I think if you're in a windowless room, you're just kind of like going down the rabbit hole. But that's fucking cool too. I mean, I wrote Rabbit Hole in a windowless room. So, and that's one of my latest singles, or came out 2 years ago now at this point. But, you know, you can be the judge.
Yeah.
That song is definitely kind of like moody and dark and psycho, and a lot of like in the box kind of synths, and so maybe that was the windowless room vibe.
You also mentioned When the Mood Strikes, and you know, I feel like there are varying opinions on that too. Some people say they can't write when they're happy because things are going great. Why do I need to write when things are great? Other people say that, you know, you know, being too low is also a hard place to write from. So is there an ideal emotion or an ideal mood when you tend to be your most effective as a writer?
Usually when I'm buzzing, like when I'm excited, usually I get this like sort of buzz that goes off in my brain. And I get like hyped, like I get like hyper. And, but no, there's not like, I understand the too happy, too low thing. I think I agree with that. But there's no specific emotion that I need to already be in. Like the inspiration strikes at like random, totally random times. It's a lot of the times it's when I'm feeling relax or I'm in good company, but it's often when I'm like, I don't know. It's such a hard, it's actually a hard question to answer. Like,
yeah,
it comes really randomly.
Yeah,
I don't think that there's any like specific emotion that I'm usually already in. Sort of contemplative, I guess. I think that's when I'm often like, that's when things kind of come out. And that is why I do need a lot of alone time, I think. Because without it, like, I can never really get to that place of contemplation and sort of stillness. So I think it is often sort of born out of that. I think a lot of times, but sometimes I'll be hanging out with friends where I'll be like drinking at the bar, and then I'll be like, dude, like, oh my God, like if only like I was in the studio right now, like I just like came up with like the coolest idea for a song. And then I'll be like singing into my phone in the corner and like, you know, just like completely involved in some idea that I have to go execute.
I love those stories. I mean, you know, the like you're in a place that's not conducive to songwriting, and that's when the best ideas seem to happen, right?
Yeah, totally. I remember one time being on, having like, I was on a date, and I was at this man's house, and I'll just cut to the chase. We were falling asleep, and I like turned over and I was like, but I'll boom boom and like singing into my phone. And he was like, yo, are you okay? Yo, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm so sorry. But it was like some like psycho, like
that's hilarious.
Like very funky, like way too funky for the moment. Kind of a beat.
Right.
I remember that being a thing. It happened kind of recently.
Well, you also mentioned bass lines. And I'm curious how often, you know, I hate to tell stories about songwriters all the time, but I remember Britt Daniel from Spoon. I interviewed him a couple of years ago. And nice. He told me that he sits, check this out. So he'll sit at the bar with his laptop and just listen to people, and he'll write down in his laptop phrases or words or lines he hears people say. And I can just imagine walking to seeing him in a bar thinking he's listening up, you know. So when you're at those bars or any of those places, and you mentioned bass lines also, so I'm curious. I mean, that's music, obviously. But
he brings his laptop to the bar.
Yes.
And it's like at a bar, like at night.
He'll sit. Well, I'm not sure the time of day, but he was pretty clear that it was. Okay. It was, yeah, it was. He will sit and with his laptop open and listen and just listen for things.
I love that sort of unhinged. That's unhinged behavior, Britt. I'm just going to say that.
But I do hear a lot of songwriters tell me that they get.
He toured with them, so he knows me, so I can say this.
Gotcha. Okay. So I can keep that part in. A lot of songwriters tell me, though, that they get ideas, you know, how many ideas they get from just offhand conversations that they hear random lines. So,
yeah, that's how I came up with the name of my album, actually. I had a few ideas like rolling around. And then I was in the car driving like late at night. And there was some like crazy, like 60s kind of rock song playing, or like kind of like a blues rock like jam. I had never heard it before, but it was really rad. And the guy just goes, I don't want you anymore. And I was like, damn, that's so cool. Like that really hits. And then it was just a line that he was like in the chorus of some like, you know, crazy like 50s doo-wop song, and I was like, I gotta take that, like that's genius.
Yeah, just that line. And that,
yeah,
that's weird though, because that's not a line that's unique, right? It's not something you go, no, it's not like a line that's, you know, it seems like that's a line every one of us has said before.
No, yeah, it's just something that hit and felt really like emotional and simple. Yeah. But I think that a lot of I think that's how you can describe a lot of like what my thing is like simple but effective, maybe.
Yeah. So another thing that songwriters tell me that they get a lot of ideas. Now, we started this conversation, you were sitting on the floor, I think. A lot of songwriters tell me that they like to actually write on the floor rather than sitting in a chair.
Yeah. I like to stand actually a lot.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean,
I've heard that too.
Yeah, like when I get really into it and I'm recording, I'm usually kind of hunched over at my desk, but standing and then coming up with stuff like that. But I write a lot of songs on bass. I like start with bass for a lot of songs for some reason. I just think it's such a great, fun instrument to like play around with. And I think, I guess naturally it happens that way.
You mentioned those bass lines too, but I'm curious, are there times when you've gotten great bass lines or you know, those funky bass lines from some random sound that you hear when you're out and about?
The other day I pulled up to downtown rehearsal. This isn't a bass line specifically, but I pulled up to downtown rehearsal which is this studio in downtown where my studio lockout is. And I was sitting in my car and some band was playing and they sounded sick. But then the car next to me had like a... It was like a conversation that was going on in the car, like through the car phone. So it was like the car phone conversation mixed with the band playing on the second floor was like the coolest atmospheric sound to me. And I sat in my car recording and I really didn't want the guy to see that I was recording because I was like, I'm not trying to record your conversation. But I was trying really hard because I was sitting next to him and he could have clearly like seen my phone, but I was trying really hard to be like chill about it. But I was also trying to get a good sound. So I was like holding it up in weird ways, trying to record him.
What was so appealing? Because to me, I would think, wow, I'm trying to listen to this band, but this guy won't stop talking. So I love, maybe that's where you're an artist and I'm not, but
it's the sound quality. It's the vibe.
It's
the sound quality of the vibes. It's not specifically any like notes or words. It's just the atmosphere had a really nice quality to it. And that's what that was.
Yeah. Do you get a lot of ideas also when you're in the car, specifically driving? That tends to be a popular source of inspiration.
Absolutely. I also think that's a car city thing. Like, that's an LA thing, I think, a lot, is coming up with ideas in the car because you're sitting in traffic and you're driving so much. I've had people tell me that I reference driving so much in my music that it feels like very specifically LA because of that.
As I'm thinking about this now, I could see the difference between, I wonder if the ideas that you get, let's say if you're driving in a long expanse where, I mean, in traffic, you're a stop and go, you got to pay attention to what's around you. You know, I do find that when people get those ideas for songs, it's because driving allows them to kind of, when you're driving on a long expanse, your mind kind of tunes out. So that's interesting. What you're telling me is that you're getting ideas when you really have to be paying attention to what you're doing when you're driving in LA traffic, right? You can't like just kind of space out and zone out and kind of think about songs, or, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think I tap into a certain zen when I'm driving, though. I think that most people would be afraid of LA traffic, and it's totally understandable, but I definitely tap into a certain type of zen having like grown up here and learned how to drive here. I remember when I was like 15 and I was learning how to drive, my driving instructor took me straight to downtown LA, took me straight to like Skid Row, and I was learning how to drive there. And he was like, don't hit the people running in the street. And I was like, oh my God. Okay. and it was like really, really scary. and he just like threw me into it. But I love that kind of energy when someone just like puts me in this situation that seems scary and hard.
And that's when you get ideas during those situations.
I basically owe my whole life to my driving instructor when I was 15.
I do hear, yeah. I also hear walking, you know, kind of not in a, you know, there's the self, whatever, what I'm looking for. Self-propelling is not the word, but, you know, walking, biking, running, things like that.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was going to say is I like the feeling of being alone, but being in movement. And like, I like, I get so much inspiration from living in a city as well. So I like the combination of those three things. Like the city actually sort of zens me. I like feeling a part of the energy of it.
This is something that I'm realizing as you're saying this, because I would feel like I can't create in those situations, but you're so used to them. Like anyone else might say, the chaos is not a place for contemplation. It's not a place for Zen. it's a place where you can't get anything done because you're so distracted. But I love the fact that you're so used to that, that is your place of zen, when most people would say, how is that zen? You can't even listen to yourself think. But like, I'm curious if you could feel that way. Let's say if you were in the chaos of like New York, do you think you'd be in that state of zen? Or is it LA specifically because you're used to it, where you feel like, yeah.
I think I like New York too for that reason. I love big cities. I like London too. I feel a sense of peace in the city. I like being in a place that's multicultural and that has everyone doing what they want. I mean, obviously, that's a stretch. Not everyone's able to do what they want. Especially these days with the economy and the shitter, and like, you know, it's hard to survive out here these days. But yeah, something is comforting to me and inspiring to me about people moving around me.
Yeah. That's so interesting.
yeah. But I also, I like being out. I do a lot of like hiking and backpacking. Like, I actually just came back last night from being up in the mountains for 3 days. So I really love being like, I was in Yosemite surrounded by like breathtaking beauty and like, just me and my two friends. And I was up in the mountains. And yeah, I wasn't feeling particularly creative like in that way. I mean, that's a place for me to soul search. And I think that's what I need to like get out. But that's not always the most conducive or inspiring place for me to create music. That's just more me figuring out my life.
It's a recharge, a recharge for you so that when you come back.
Yes.
So exactly. I'm guessing then if someone stuck you in a cabin in upstate New York to write for a week in the woods, you may not be as effective.
Yeah, I don't really know if I would. I don't really know if I would. I think I'm better suited for making albums in cities, honestly.
Yeah. Speaking of lyrics, I always ask this question. When you write lyrics, are you a pen and paper person or a computer person or a phone person?
I like pen and paper.
You do? Sure. Let's talk. Because I find songwriters are very loyal to types of pen, color of ink, paper, very particular about it. So let's hear it.
I have my crazy little notebook, and it's really dark, so you wouldn't want to like flip through it. But I love to, I have to write with a pen. I have to write like with a pen on paper. And sometimes I like writing on copy paper, like not lined paper. That's kind of like my favorite way to write lyrics.
Why is that?
Is copy paper with pen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess there's more freedom to like move around and write things in weird ways. And the line, I feel like the lines, they bound me, man. No, just kidding. But
yeah, I've heard that though.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I love like that you know so much about other people's processes, because I find that interesting on a personal note. I feel like we don't often talk about it with each other.
Well, I love the answers that I get. I mean, I mentioned I interviewed Jerry Harrison of the Talking Heads, and he told me he has to write with felt tip pen. I'd never heard felt tip pen, and I said, why felt tip? But he has a visual arts background. Yeah, he has a visual arts background, and he says he loves the feeling of the scraping of the pen on the paper. And I thought, that's amazing, like the feeling of the scraping.
I like a ballpoint pen that flows, that's real inky, that gets all over your hands. I honestly do. I like a messy ballpoint pen.
that I can just kind of like scribble with and just inking everywhere.
And I think the advantage, means you joked about being bound by the lines, but I think I hear that a lot, you know, because unlined paper allows you to be nonlinear. It allows you to kind of write things all over the place, you know, arrows, thought, maybe stuff. So I think it's a different process, certainly, because you don't, joked, but I think that's absolutely true. That I think right?
Totally. No, there's something to the quality of like just being able to etch crazy things in and just feel like the words themselves can flow.
Yeah. Do you revise a lot of your lyrics?
I do, yeah. Sometimes I don't, like one of the songs on my latest album, it's touched you with my chaos. And that I wrote kind of all in one sitting and didn't change any words. So that was one that like absolutely like flew out of me because of the chord structure. The nature of the chord structure was like just really hitting emotionally for me and was like kind of simple and really heavy. And at the time, I was going through something where I was kind of hooking up with an old friend of mine. Like, he and I had been friends in, like, high school, and then we'd, like, reconnected later, and, like, we were sort of hooking up, but it was, like, casual. And I don't know, I was feeling kind of crazy about it. Because I was like, oh, is it like I know you so well? Like, I remember when you had braces, but now we're both adults, and it's like really weird. And I had just watched the movie Kajillionaire, and like the soundtrack to that is really cool. So I just remember, like, oh no, actually, I had just watched Mysterious Skin, is this Greg Araki movie. I get inspired by movies a lot. I'm kind of like a movie head. So a lot of like movie feeling, like the feeling of them and like the soundtracks can sometimes push me to write. But I just watched that movie and it was so like dark and moody and cool. And I got into this like lyrical headspace when I was writing it. And then I ran to my desk and wrote all of the lyrics down, just like they were just like pouring out of me, and I never really changed them. I thought they were perfect.
So two follow-ups. One, I hear occasionally people, songwriters sometimes tell me they're less likely to trust lyrics that come out so quickly. They feel like that there's unease that, oh, if they happen that fast, how good can they really be? But do you ever have that anxiety? Like, wow, this almost seemed too easy. No. Okay.
No, I think the opposite. I think if they're flowing out, you need to trust that, because why else would they be flowing out if you didn't have some sort of real raw emotion that you were tapping into?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm always trying to capture, is like that truth, that like realness. And I don't know. I always have a lot of anxiety and things like stopping me in my real life, that when I'm in like that sort of flow state, I'm really grateful for it. Mm-hmm. And I know that's like where I'm the most creative and the most like honest.
Now the soundtracks. So if I played you the soundtrack without the movie, would that inspire you? Is it the combination of the movie and the soundtrack that gets you inspired?
It's the combination, because it's not always just the music. It's like the vibe of the movie that I feel afterwards. So it's definitely the movie itself as well.
Yeah. I want to read you a quote. I like reading quotes by authors and see how songwriters react to them. So this is one by William Burroughs, and he says, "There is only one thing a writer can write about, And that is what is in front of his senses at the moment of writing. So I'll repeat that. That's William Burroughs. He said, there's only one thing a writer can write about. That is what is in front of his senses at the moment of writing. So do you, can you write about things with distance, or do you need to be in the moment to be able to write about those things effectively? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a great quote. I think that kind of echoes what I was just saying about the best stuff coming from your most honest and sort of vulnerable state. So I agree. I think, I guess I think the emotional aspect is the most important thing to me with music, or at least with my music. And so, yeah, I think I need to be sort of existing in that emotion and living in that emotion. That's when my best stuff always comes out, is from that place.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't think you can really write things from distance.
Yeah.
At least for me personally, I think the best stuff that I do, you know, is because like something fucking crazy just happened to me. And so I'm feeling a type of way about it. And so that's what I'm writing about.
So speaking of, go ahead. Sorry.
No, just like, I guess on the flip side, I think that when you write like that, things are very emotional and very like heavy, but is that necessarily always good? I don't know. I mean,
right.
Is that necessarily like always what makes the best music? Like for me, that's a place that I love to get to and that I love to create from, but it'd be interesting to like think about what it's like if you're coming from a more analytical space or whatever.
Yeah. All right. One more quote. This is the one that songwriters love. This is the favorite. So this is from E.L. Doctorow, the novelist. He says, writing is like driving at night in the fog. You can only see as far as the headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. So I love that quote. I'm going to read it out loud. Again, E.L. Doctorow, writing is like driving at night in the fog. You can only see as far as the headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. So I'm a prose writer, not a songwriter, but I do feel like I have no right knowing what it's supposed to look like when I finish. I think the biggest, this is how I feel. I'm not saying it's for everyone, but for me, I think if I know where I'm going to end up, that's too restrictive.
Definitely.
So as a songwriter, how do you relate? Does that resonate with you? Just, do you feel like you need to have that unpredictability and not know what it's going to look like in the end?
I think that's a lot like what we were saying before a little bit, about like running with the emotion that you're feeling at the time. And I think that is like the essence of the song. You're not always coming up with some, you know, plot line with the twist at the end. You know, you're capturing a feeling, or a mood. And so, yeah, you don't really need those like dips and plot lines and creations that go into other forms of storytelling. Like, I don't think it's relevant. So, yeah, I love that quote. Love that. It reminds me of like being like on that feeling of buzzing that I was saying earlier, where you're just like, you like open your eyes and it's like done, like it's written, because like you're just acting on some sort of like buzz.
Yeah. And with what you're saying earlier, I don't like, from what you were telling me, I don't see how when you get in those moments of inspiration, I don't see how you would, it seems like it's so frantic. I don't know how you necessarily, you would know what it's supposed to look like. It's just, I just have to start writing. All right, yeah. Last question. So I find that songwriters for the most part are voracious readers. So how much do you get to read? And if you do, who are some of your favorite authors, genres, stuff like that?
I used to be a big reader when I was a kid. Like, I really liked Kurt Vonnegut and stuff.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, who doesn't? Who doesn't? Right now, I'm reading something that's just kind of for fun. It's not really strenuous at all, but it's like about this girl who's on vacation with her dad in France, and he's like a big player, and she is like 18 at the time, and it's kind of about all of her emotions. And I guess the writer was like, she was like 18 when she wrote it. It's from the 60s.
Yeah. What's it called? I feel like that was made into a movie.
I remember what it's called. I'm done with it though, but it's I'll find it and I'll tell you. It's like it's from the 60s and it's like a French book.
Yes,
like I don't know, like François Jouan or something. It's some like French name. This is my crazy notebook though. It has Chucky on it. I don't know why. It's scary. yeah, I can't remember the name. It's some French name. I think it translates to like kisses and kisses in French. my bass player is like the smartest person ever, and she doesn't read. She's always like, I don't read. But she's also like a genius. So I love that. I always think it's really funny. But I think it helps me with, like, sometimes I have, like, a desperate need to read. Mm. Like, I'm just, like, this is the only thing that I want to do. Like, I just need to be, like, sucked into a novel. I think I like novels more than anything, like, any other type of book.
And that's it for today's episode. Check back in a couple of weeks for a new episode. I do try to post these every 2 weeks, sometimes with more frequency, sometimes with less. A lot of that depends on my work commitments, my family commitments, and also when artists can talk to me. It's not easy to get these interviews. Speaking of interviews, did you know this is a relatively new podcast? I only started podcasting about a year ago. Well, depending on when you're listening to this, I should say 2022. But from 2010 to 2022, all of my interviews were transcribed and they are all there archived for you to go down that deep rabbit hole. So if you go to songwritersonpodcast.com and click on From the Archives in the top, at the top, you'll see all of those transcribed interviews. I think there's over 200. So go down that rabbit hole. There's a lot of great interviews there. But you'll find all of those there. Again, the podcast itself is relatively recent. So there's a lot of reading you need to be catching up on with those old interviews. Speaking of interviews, if you have suggestions for interview subjects or want to comment or complain, anything like that, email me at ben@songwritersonprocess.com. That's ben@songwritersonprocess.com. And that's it for today's episode. This wraps it up. Thank you very much for listening and have a good one.